We all know the musical greats of Motown, rock and roll, country, and rockabilly, but each genre produced many more artists who may have made records, even had brief careers, but never broke into the big time. A group of music devotees has made it their mission to revive what they call underheard recordings. They created the Numero Group record label in 2003. It's based in Chicago, and its latest release, The Eccentric Soul Review, features performers from the Chicago soul scene of the late 60s and early 70s. Joining me from Chicago Public Radio is one of the founders of Numero Group, Ken Shipley, and also one of the performers from Eccentric Soul Review, Rinaldo Domino. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ken Shipley, let me start with you. The recordings on this album are all from the now defunct Twinight label. What first caught your ear there?
Well, Twinight had made a number of pretty incredible recordings throughout the late 60s and early 70s. What's remarkable about the label is that they only made 56 records, but probably 98% of them are pretty incredible. And so because their track record was so amazing, it really draws you in as both a record collector and just a soul fan.
So when you found the records and the artist, was it hard to track down these performers?
Well, some of them were much easier to find than others. People like Syl Johnson were readily available, as were the Notations. But Rinaldo, for instance, you know, the way we found him was actually through an eBay auction where his son had bought one of his records and had left some comments in the auction saying something along the lines of, I'm Rinaldo's son and I'm trying to buy all of my father's records. And that was the only way we were able to find him, because we didn't actually know that his last name was Jones. And, you know, Jones is such a such a common name that...
Rinaldo, maybe you want to explain your last name?
The last name was a nickname that came about from, you know, friends back in the day. I was 14, 15 years old, and I was singing pretty high voice, and it got to, well, okay, it sounds sweet as Domino Sugar.
Yeah. So you had this brief career, and now decades later, your son was collecting your albums for you.
Yeah.
That is so sweet.
Well, I don't know why he was. Yeah, I guess, you know, I didn't play him a lot after I left show business. I was more into current music, things like that, because I was still writing, you know, contemporary stuff, you know, and so I didn't really listen to a lot of my own music then.
So was he doing this for you or him?
For himself.
Oh.
Yeah, I imagine, because, you know, I had kind of lost interest in it, to tell you the truth.
Well, now, you didn't really have any records.
I didn't have any of them, no.
You did have an early singing career, though. I mean, as I understand it, tell me about this, Rinaldo. You had a contract while you were still in high school.
Right. At 17, I signed with Mercury Records, and I did about 4 records with them and left there and went to Twinight, and that was about 1970, I think.
And then what happened?
By 71, well, Twinight was having kind of problems going on with their label.
Well, the problem with Twinight was that they weren't really a record label so much as a promotions firm.
Yeah.
And because the two principals ran this very powerful radio promotions firm, a lot of what they were doing in terms of making records was this term they called friendola, which is they would, instead of taking money to play people's records on the air, they would do a favor for somebody. So it's like, oh, well, this disc jockey will, you know, he'll put the Motown record to the top of the charts, but only if you put out his daughter's record, or, you know, and so you have a lot of things
like, on the payola.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so Rinaldo kind of got wrapped in through Richard Pegee, who was a DJ over at WVON. Not to disparage Richard in any way, but, you know, Richard had done a couple of records for Twinight, and Rinaldo was sort of his new protege.
Okay, so they kind of ended their thing. You ended your musical career and went on to a career doing what?
Well, at the time, I was I had just gotten married and had a young son, so I went into the insurance business, actually.
At age 21, is that right?
Yes.
So now your music is being revived. Let's take a listen to one of the songs that's been re-released here. It's called Not Too Cool to Cry.
You left me stranded with a twisted heart. You wanted me deep, girl, and tore my mind apart.
Not too cool
There's Rinaldo Domino, and that voice is sweet as sugar. That's great. What year was that recorded, and what do you remember about recording it?
1970, we did that. And one of the biggest things about that record was I originally wrote it saying I was too cool to cry. And then Richard and we all got together and said, well, that sounded a little too braggadocio, you know, that we got to break it down a little bit and kind of plead to the women in the song. So we changed it to Not Too Cool to Cry.
What do you remember about being in the studio and recording that song back in 1970?
Well, we had a situation where Richard Pegeat, a producer, he wanted to get a mood going. And he just like turned all the lights down real low and said, okay, now you act like you're singing this to your best girlfriend, you know. And we did it in one take. It was pretty good.
Ken, after putting this music on his CD, you also took Rinaldo and some others out on a tour. Is that right? What inspired that?
Well, we always knew that these cats could, you know, still have the chops to get out there and actually do it. And even though Rinaldo hadn't performed in 38 years,
we
thought, you know, the guy's still got really good pipes, and wouldn't it be amazing if we could get some of these guys on stage again and just, you know, not necessarily show the world that they still got it, but just sort of show that soul music is still extremely viable. And
some of these artists are in their 70s, is that right?
Yeah, Sil Johnson's in his 70s. The Notations are primarily in their 60s, and Rinaldo, 59, so he's almost in his 60s.
Young thing.
You've been calling me 60 all year.
So, Rinaldo, what was it like?
Oh, it was fantastic. It really was. You know, it was just like riding a bicycle. We started here in Chicago, and we did a show in Chicago. Then we went to Detroit, then to Columbus, Ohio. Then we went to D.C., and then Philadelphia. And then we went to Brooklyn.
Which was incredible.
Yes, it was packed house.
Why?
The reason why it was incredible is the fascinating thing about a lot of what's going on in this reinterest in soul music is it's how young the audience is. And I think you'd agree with that, Rinaldo.
Right,
that
they were.
You know, you'd hope that you could get a 50% share of middle-aged black audience. But the reality is you're getting a lot of white kids in their 20s who are discovering soul music for the first time, and it's extremely exciting for them. And so Brooklyn, which is basically where all the young hip kids in New York live because they can't afford to live in Manhattan, has become a hotbed for this kind of thing, and you had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people lined up outside to get into a show with guys in their 60s. So it was a pretty incredible night, you know, and it was definitely an amazing way to cap off the tour, because it was certainly, I think, the most energetic crowd that we had, and people knew the lyrics even. They were singing along.
It was a good crowd, a very good crowd. Yes.
That's amazing. So young white kids picking up on this music. Rinaldo, it strikes me it's pretty different from the last time you toured. I was reading an interview you gave, and you were touring in the segregated South the last time out on the road.
The old Chitlin Circuit. That's what we used to call it. But, yeah, we went down through Alabama, Memphis, all through those areas, and we went to New Orleans. A lot of areas we went in. It was just, you know, Jim Crow was still in existence at that time. You know, you couldn't use certain washrooms and that kind of thing. But we persevered through it, though.
Rinaldo, how would you say that the tour was different, this tour, than maybe the places you were playing this time versus maybe the last time?
They were a lot more better venues, baby. I mean, like, the Chitlin tour thing is like, you go on, you had like 5-inch stages and people sitting right there in front of you. But it was more professional.
Let's listen to another song of yours, Rinaldo. And this one has a bit of a haunting sound here. It's called Nevermore.
Oh, okay.
There's your house across the street, and I can see your window.
Ken, what made this a song that you just had to include on this new album?
Well, just listen to those vocals when they open up. I mean, it really sets a mood and a tone. Plus, you've got the great castanets in the background and the plinky little piano. There's not really a lot of soul songs that are out there that sound like that. And one of the things that we've tried to do at Numero is, okay, Motown stacks great, but there's so much other stuff that's out there that's both fascinating and maybe a little quirky, but amazing because of those idiosyncrasies that make the recording something just slightly left of what you would expect.
Rinaldo, is it true you never saw a royalty check in the first incarnation of your musical career?
It's true, not a one. We did any money I made, we made in live performances. I did stuff here in Chicago. Like back then, it was a lot of nightclubs going on, like the High Chaparral, the Guys and Gals. People were going out to nightclubs then a lot more.
Ken, I understand your record label actively works to provide long-term economic support for these artists that you're bringing back. Can you explain?
Well, it's not necessarily that they're going to be getting enough money to, you know, go off and retire in the sun. I mean, if you've made two songs or four songs or eight songs, or you know, there's not a ton of money there. But what we try to do is make sure that even if we get 4 cents in on a song, you know, part of that money belongs to somebody and it doesn't belong all to us, although, you know, we do take our percentage off of that. But we want to make these people's lives richer because of the work that we're doing and say, hey, even though you were burned 40 years ago and you haven't seen a penny, take some of this. You know, realize that there is some money being made off of this and that there'll be money going as long as we have this record company, we'll find ways to make you more money. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that people like working with us is because we're extremely honest and we make sure that we're trying to do everything as by the book as we can. And that means finding all the artists before putting out the records. You know, there's the old saying of, you know, better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. And we kind of take the opposite on that, is that we'd rather ask for permission than beg for forgiveness. So with Rinaldo is a really, really great case because we found him before we did the record and we kind of explained to him, hey, this is exactly what we want to do. And I think from the very get-go, we said, you're not going to be a millionaire, but, you know, you're going to be respected and you're going to be paid.
I did get some royalties.
And well, tour, it's not like you didn't make any money on the tour either.
No, I made the money.
And did I read something about a trust as well?
I mean, not in every case, but we certainly have trusts for masters and publishing, things like that, for families who, let's say, the main proprietor of the group or the record company has died. We try to make just inroads to be able to allow people to continue to make money down the road so that it all just doesn't disappear. A lot of what happens is when somebody passes on, their assets aren't necessarily being taken care of by their family. Even though their family may understand some of the importance, they don't understand exactly how to work and make money off of that. So we've actually found ways to set up these things so that people are making money for the rest of their lives, ostensibly.
Rinaldo, I've read that you continued to write music during that long time when you were selling insurance and whatnot. Yeah. What's next for you? I mean, a new album, new songs?
Well, I've got ideas about putting together a CD and actually, you know, selling it on the internet like a lot of people are doing and see what happens with that.
Well, good luck. Rinaldo Domino is one of the performers who just toured as part of Numero Group's Eccentric Soul Review. Ken Shipley is a co-founder of the Chicago music label Numero Group, and they both joined us from Chicago Public Radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you.